The Giants were unable to win their 13th game against the Rockies in a row. They were unable to sweep this series. But all in all, it was a good, solid road trip for the Giants and certainly a good trip to Denver for the Giants. And there were some positives to take out of today's loss as well. So we'll talk about all of that and Tommy La Stella going off next.
You are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspic, and on this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. I'm a former contributor for the baseball statistics and analysis websites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs. I've been podcasting about the Giants since 2015, and I'm a lifelong fan. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get podcasts. And coming up on today's show, unfortunately, the most recent event was this loss in the finale of this series to the Colorado Rockies. Whenever there's a day game after a night game, we typically put the podcast out after the day game, especially if it's a little bit early, this game being at around noon local time here in the Bay Area. So unfortunately, we kind of had to skip over yesterday's loss to an extent, but we're going to talk about that on today's show. And why not start there? And then we'll talk about today's game, the positives coming out of today's game, and also some negatives to come out of today's game next. But I want to talk about yesterday and what we saw out of Tommy La Stella. This was obviously a little bit of a point of contention among Giants fans, kind of on social media and whatever, that, you know, Tommy La Stella coming back, it pushed Luis Gonzalez out of the picture. And I think that that upset some people and it rubbed some people the wrong way. But when you really think about it, they didn't really have much other choice. And I think last night we saw why Tommy La Stella is an important part of this roster and a good player. There's been a lot of talk about how he's just not a very good player, and I don't know. I just don't buy that at all. And what we saw last year out of La Stella is not the best of La Stella, especially given what we're seeing right now, which is actually he's made changes to his swing because he's always been a guy who controls the strike zone really well. He's always been a guy who's hit a lot of contact, like a lot of contact, and elite strikeout rate. He's also been a guy who's hit for some power, but he's worked on adding bat speed and adding power. And something I noticed right away from Tommy La Stella is that his swing is different. The way he loads is completely different. He has a super high leg kick now. And if you go on my Twitter at Ben Kaspic, I put out a couple of images comparing last year to this year with Tommy La Stella's kind of pre-pitch load. And man, the leg kick is much bigger. We didn't see him play in today's game because it was a lefty starter on the mound. That is just how they do it. Tommy La Stella is a platoon player like most of the guys on the Giants. And so he didn't actually get into the game today. But yesterday, he had three hits, including two doubles and a monster home run that went, 464 feet. It was in the top 10 of the furthest hit balls all season long in Major League Baseball. And it was just a monster shot. And he's a little guy, so to see him do that is impressive. And I think a lot of people kind of sleep on his ability to hit for power in addition to those other skills that we just mentioned. And so just to reiterate, when I say they didn't really have another choice, Tommy La Stella is a good player. He's a player, I mean, in general, you cannot hold a guy down in the minor leagues when they're on a rehab assignment forever. Eventually, you have to bring them back. And what were they supposed to do? Like cut Tommy La Stella just to avoid optioning Luis Gonzalez when Gonzalez, like the rule is Gonzalez can be optioned. And then within 10 days, like 10 days minimum, he can be back. And that the reason he would come back is if there's some kind of an injury, somehow they feel like they've survived a stretch where they needed 13 pitchers and they could roll with 14 position players for a while, or more likely is that there would be an injury. That would be a more likely situation in which we would see Gonzalez again. And the point to mention is that an injury to a number of different guys, Gonzalez has put himself in position to be that first guy back. And so the alternative is like, what, you're going to DFA Tommy La Stella? And we saw yesterday why you don't DFA a guy like that. He's a good player. He's a good bat. I think a lot of people sleep on the bat being good, but he's a good bat, and we saw why. And so I look forward to hopefully a healthy season out of Tommy La Stella. Hopefully, I mean, if we see Luis Gonzalez again, it's probably because somebody got hurt. But when we're looking at Yastrzemski, Jock Peterson, Lamont Wade Jr., and even Brandon Belt, if any of those guys have any kind of little ding to them, and look, it happens throughout the course of a season, we will see Luis Gonzalez back with the San Francisco Giants. And so behind Tommy La Stella, the Giants won this game 10-7. Alex Cobb was on the mound, and I was going to tweet this out, but didn't. But it felt like Gabe Kapler left Alex Cobb in the game too long. And honestly, throughout, this is now season number 3 of Gabe Kapler, I haven't really strongly felt that way too many times, but last night did feel that way. And what does Gabe Kapler do after the game? He says to the media he felt like he left Cobb in for a couple of hitters too long and that it was his bad and his fault. So a couple of things. Number one, Alex Cobb appreciated that, and he said as much in his post-game interview. Number two, it's nice to see a manager kind of own up to that and take the blame for some runs getting tacked onto Alex Cobb's line, because he actually pitched pretty darn well in this game, and the final line definitely doesn't show it with 7 earned runs. But I can kind of understand where Kapler is coming from, because Cobb has a 70% ground ball rate and an ability to strike guys out right now. And so with guys on base, he probably was thinking, you're one pitch away if you can just hit the ball on the ground and you can get a double play and get out of this inning. But it just didn't happen, and he was laboring, and every batter was getting a pitch kind of hanging over the middle, and they made him pay and ultimately got the 7 runs. But all is forgiven when you win the game, and Tommy La Stella powered the offense. Mike Yastrzemski had a big game as well. We'll talk about him, and he continued that today, even against a lefty starter. And Brandon Crawford and Tyro Estrada with big games as well. Kirk Casale, following up his 2-homer game, went 0 for 5. So coming up next, I want to shift our attention to today's game. There were real positives and there were some real negatives, something the Giants may actually have to start thinking about doing something about. And then later on, we're going to talk about one of the things that drives me absolutely insane, but there's a total solution to it. And so we'll talk about that as well. But first, with spring in the air, it's a time of renewal and growth, personally and professionally. As your small business grows, LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find the people you want to talk to faster and for free. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number 1 in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. All right, as promised, I want to shift our attention to this loss, kind of talk about the series in Denver as a whole, the road trip as a whole, and the good and the bad from today, because it's getting to that point where we talked before the season about how at the 45-game mark or so is when you really can take your first thorough look at your team and really have a decent sense of some things. And so we're getting to that point. So we're going to talk about some big picture stuff. Thank you for making Locked On Giants your first listen. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Now podcast. Recaps of MLB games with analysis from our local experts, taking fans through the season like no other network, free and available wherever you get podcasts. So the good and the bad from today. The bad is that the Giants lost the game, number one. They lost 5-3, and really, you know, kind of watching the game live, you're going to say, wow, they couldn't hold on to this lead that they had late in the game. They led 3-2 for much of the game. It was 3-2 in the fourth inning, and it was 3-2 in the eighth inning. And so, to me, though, this was a game more about not being able to add on offense, and it wasn't a game really about giving up some runs late. Holding the Rockies to 5 runs is actually pretty decent in Denver. When you only score 3 yourself, it's kind of like scoring only 1 run anywhere else. So the Giants did not have a great game offensively. They got 2 in the second, 1 in the fourth. The thing is, they had some chances. And I guess we're going down the negative route first, because for me, Joey Bart, there's a stark difference right now in the at-bat quality between Kurt Casale and Joey Bart. And I don't think that's a big surprise to anybody. But when Kurt Casale is swinging the bat well, it's really on full display. Joey Bart went 0 for 4 with 3 strikeouts, which unfortunately is not that uncommon of a box score result for Joey Bart. So his strikeout rate on the season is 44% at this point in time, and he's had 84 plate appearances. So it's not a ton of plate appearances, but at the same time, he's really showed no sign of really reversing that. And at a certain point, I don't think they're going to be able to put up with that, even though the overall slash line has him at an above average weighted runs created plus. It's a very unusual route to get to being, quote, above average offensively. To hit 174 as a batting average, you really need a couple of other things going on. You need to be getting on base via the walk, and you need to be hitting for some power. And Joey Bart has done both of those things. His 188 isolated power is significantly better than the league average this year, which is around 140. So it's not like crazy better than the league average, but what it does mean is when he's gotten his hits, he's gotten an above average rate of extra base hits. And also, 321 on base percentage, despite a 174 batting average, is pretty darn good. And it's an above average on base percentage, just it for offense in general, let alone for catchers. Catchers are worse than league average offensively. So overall, I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and say they got to make a move when he's produced well above league average in general, and even more so for catchers. But at the same time, the strikeout rate and the swing and miss is something I don't know that they can just continue to put up with game after game that he's behind the plate. And I think a lot of you are probably thinking, I've been saying this since the first week of the season. Well, okay, you were probably right then. But the thing is, we give guys time, just like with, I don't know, Darren Ruff as another example. Very slow start, didn't have the same red flags with strikeout rate by way of example, but very slow start. We said, other people said, you give him time. He's got a track record. That's part of it that Bart does not have. With Ruff, he just last year and the year before was very, very good. And so you give him time. You don't give up on a player like that after a couple of bad weeks. And sure enough, I mean, if you look at Darren Ruff's numbers over the last 2 weeks, over the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks even, he's been kind of a monster again. And so that's why, I mean, we're not quite to the 45 game mark yet. I mean, we're not even that close. What are we at? 37 games. So we're about a week away. Not that like 44 doesn't mean anything and 45 does. It's not like an overnight switch is flipped, but we're getting to the point where we've learned some things, right? And we've learned this is a issue for Joey Bart. We've learned Mike Yastrzemski is having a nice year. We've learned Darren Ruff rebounded and is having much better at-bats and is looking like a offensive force again, or at least a real threat at the plate. But with Joey Bart, we're learning that this issue is not just going to go away, it seems like. And strikeout rate is actually one of the quicker things to stabilize, as is walk rate. And that's why it matters that he's drawing these walks as well. And he's clearly improved a lot in this area. And I just want to emphasize, hitting is really, really hard. Probably harder than you even think, even if you know hitting is hard. Like, it's unbelievably hard what these guys are doing. Joey Bart was a superstar in college. He's been great at various levels of the minor leagues. It's just a different animal when you get to the major leagues, even than AAA. And so this is a concern, but they did pick up much needed kind of upper minors catching insurance in the form of Michael Papirski in this Mauricio Dubon. Some people really hate that I say Dubon, whatever, in the Mauricio trade. So I don't know what they're going to do, but I'm not sure that they can put up with this indefinitely. I think that at some point, what we're probably going to see for now is more of a two-thirds Casale. And if Bart doesn't show improvement, then they could just continue to roll with that, but I'm not sure that it's going to last forever. Anyway, I want to get to the positives from today, because Bart, all of that was to say, he came up with the bases loaded. It was a two-out situation, but he also came up at one point with a runner on second and no outs. In a situation where if you just kind of hit a ball deep in the air, you can get a tag up. I think it was Estrada on second base. And if you hit a ground ball to the right side or even up the middle, you can advance Estrada and then a sac fly. Just, you got to be able to tack on runs when you have the opportunity in Coors Field. And Bart came up a few times when pretty much you don't want to strike out above all else, and he struck out. And obviously that's going to continue to happen a lot if you're striking out nearly half the time. So the positives were basically Logan Webb. I think that he pitched great. He settled down. He gave up a couple of runs in the first inning, including on a home run to Charlie Blackmon to lead off the game. But he really settled down after that. And I think he had retired 16 straight before he went out there in the eighth inning and allowed a leadoff base runner. It looked like he was just going to go out there. They were going to let him keep pitching until he allowed one base runner, is what I thought they were doing. And Connor Joe pinch hit at the bottom of the lineup, kind of a little sneak attack move there, pinch hitting for the catcher. And it worked out well, to Bud Black's credit. That proved to be a pretty solid move, I think, because Joe got things going with a hit. Jose Alvarez came in and he wasn't sharp. And he had the longest active streak of not allowing a home run dating back to June 1st of last year. So almost a full calendar year without allowing a home run for Jose Alvarez. But he allowed one to CJ Krohn, and it changed the game. And the Rockies took the lead. But you had to figure at some point the Rockies can get some runs in Coors Field. It just happens. And so when you only get three yourself and you strand the bases loaded one time and you get guys on and you can't get them in, you get leadoff doubles and you can't score at Coors Field, that's going to burn you more often than not. So I focus on that. Logan Webb, though, overall, 7+ innings, and he allowed 3 earned runs. That, like I said, if you score 3, that's kind of like allowing run 1 at sea level. That's unscientific of me, but 3 in Denver as a starter, 7+ innings, 3 runs is a very good start. And to his credit, Kyle Freeland on the other side pitched a heck of a game as well. So this was a well-pitched game by the starting pitchers, and the Rockies came out on top because they had some clutch hits and the Giants did not. But anyway, all told, a series win in Denver and a 3-3 road trip. So we'll wrap that up in just a minute. And I'm going to talk about the thing that is now frustrating me more than anything else in Major League Baseball, and how there is just a simple solution. So we're going to talk about what that is in just a second. But first, make every day your birthday with Built's Birthday Cake Puffs. Built has taken the delicious experience of biting into a fresh slice of birthday cake, literally my favorite thing to eat, and they've enrobed it in 100% white chocolate and added sprinkles. With 150 calories, 16 grams of protein, and only 9 grams of sugar, this limited-time flavor is an amazing option if you're looking for a healthy way to get flavor and variety, a good type of variety, into your day. All Built Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. Go to Built.com to get birthday cake puffs now. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, here we go. We're going to just give our final takeaways on the road trip that was for the San Francisco Giants, and we'll talk about the thing that annoys me the most in Major League Baseball and how, my goodness, they could just simply solve this issue, and they will. It's coming, but it's taken too long, and today irked me more than most days in regard to this issue. So why don't we just start with that, the strike zone. If you know me, you know I've been talking about this since I started podcasting in 2015. My old co-host and I, Adam Petke, we talked about this issue a lot. And it's only gotten worse with the strike zone box now appearing on the on the screen when you're watching every single game. And so you can see when a ball is literally a foot off the plate away and called a strike, which happened in the first inning to Austin Slater. Who knows what could have been different in this game? I'm not going to sit here and say that changed the game, and if not for that call, they would have won this game. I'm certainly not saying that. But what I am saying is it makes a big difference. The count, I don't know that people quite understand how much of an effect the count has in a Major League Baseball game. So I've got the numbers. The thing is, we can look this up. We can see what do hitters do once the count is X versus what do hitters do once the count is Y. And for Slater, leading off the game for the Giants, it was a 2-0 count. And the pitch was, I mean, maybe not quite literally a foot, but maybe about 8-9 inches off the plate away. It was not even close. It was one of the worst strike calls of the year. Giants also saw a really terrible strike call on Sunday Night Baseball with Lamont Wade Jr. Adam Wainwright just flipped up a curveball that was way off the plate, not even close. And it was called a strike in a full count. So it would have been a walk instead of strikeout. Would have been first and second, one out. Instead, it was runner on first, two outs. It's such a different scenario. So the count and the strike zone makes a huge impact. And so for Slater, would have been a 3-0 count. Instead, it was a called strike, became a 2-1 count. Hitters this year, after the count goes 3-0 at any point, so regardless of what, you know, maybe the next two pitches are strikes, I'm just saying, once the count has gone 3-0, what are the end results? And for hitters this year, they've got a 717 on base percentage and a 262 weighted runs created plus. After a count goes 2-1, however, which is what it was when this ball was called a strike, hitters have a 392 on base percentage and 134 weighted runs created plus. So the on base percentage, you're getting on base 72% of the time after a count goes 3-0 versus 39% of the time after it goes 2-1, night and day. And the weighted runs created plus is almost cut in half, the difference between a 3-0 count and a 2-1 count. And this is leading off the first inning of a game in Colorado. We've seen the Giants just last year, they scored like 9 runs in a first inning, okay? At any point, a big inning is possible in Denver. And so, who knows, right? If Austin Slater draws a leadoff walk, I believe the next batter of the game walked as well. And so, maybe you're looking at a big inning there and the game completely changes. So, to me, we've got the technology. We simply must change the fact that umpires are allowed to just do this when we look. What I want to say is that umpiring is extremely hard, and these guys are among the best in the world. Okay, there's probably some umpires elsewhere who could do a better job than certain other umpires, but largely speaking, these guys are very good at their jobs. It's just a hard thing to do. These pitches are 1,000 times nastier than they look on TV, and they're coming at like 101 miles an hour. It kind of doesn't look that impressive on TV. But if you were to stand in there, it's a blur. You can smell it. You can hear it. You probably can't see it all that well because it's just coming in so fast. And they're wearing a mask over their face, and they're often not standing square on with the plate because they're trying to get around the catcher. So they're standing off to the side. How can you tell me they have a good sense of exactly where the edge of the plate is? The answer is they don't. And so asking humans to make these calls, given all the conditions I just described, is insane. And of course, for the longest time, there was no other option. But now there is. And so it's going to happen at some point, whether it's a challenge system or just making every single call called by the automated strike zone. For me, I hadn't thought too much about this, but Theo Epstein, who now works for Major League Baseball, has talked about how if you just do with the automated ball strike system on every call, you lose the value of framing and also the aesthetics of framing. And I'm not sure that I'm ready, that would be so much better than what we have now. I just want to say, I would take that in a heartbeat over what we have now, with just humans calling it and you can't challenge it, even if it like ends your season on a just terrible call. You just got to live with it as it is now. So just get it right. But if you do that on every pitch, then framing becomes completely irrelevant and it changes the whole catcher position to the point where framing doesn't matter at all. All you have to do is block and throw, and hitting probably becomes more important. And maybe we want that. Maybe it's a way to infuse more offense into the game. But I also think it would look a bit sloppy if catchers weren't framing at all and they're just stabbing at pitches left and right and they're called strikes. I kind of like the aesthetics of framing the pitch. So if you could challenge and do it the way they do it in tennis, where they just like raise their index finger, obviously the manager would have to give approval, and they just show it on the video board within 10 seconds. They show the pitch coming in, being off the plate by 9 inches, and they call it a ball. And it would also, the umpire would see this and be a little bit embarrassed, and it would probably incentivize them to be even better and realize that they're consistently giving this call that's not even close and it's going to get challenged. So regardless, tighten it up. I mean, it's just, I don't want it either way. Logan Webb got some calls as well, I just have to say. I don't want it either way. I just want it right. And let the outcome be what it is with the correct and fair and even strike zone every single night. It would be such an improvement to our game. So I feel strongly about this. So every now and then need to come on here and talk about it. Anyway, that's all the time we have for today. Wrapping up the road trip, 3-3 is solid against in Denver's always tough. Even though the Giants have had a lot of success there lately, it's always tough. And then at St. Louis is tough as well. So 3-3 is fine. And now you come home and it's a tough homestand with the Padres and I don't even remember the Braves, another good team. I don't have it pulled up. Obviously, we'll talk about it before that team comes into town, but a couple of good teams coming into town in addition. I mean, the Padres plus one other good team. I think it's the Braves. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Thanks again for making Locked On Giants your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. Once again, my name is Ben Kaspic. Check me out on Twitter at Ben Kaspic, K-A-S-P-I-C-K. If you like this show, please consider rating it or leaving a review. And thank you so much in advance, and thank you to everyone who's done so already. I can't wait to be with you again tomorrow. Going to be doing a crossover with Javier Reyes from Locked On Padres, this time for real. Last time our schedules kind of got out of whack, but tomorrow that should be what's on the agenda. So I look forward to that. It's going to be a great conversation as always. Can't wait to be with you again then. Thanks again for listening. Stay Locked On Giants.